Are you thinking about getting a new car? Redwood Credit Union offers affordable auto loans for new and used vehicles. You can even refinance an existing loan with us. Our quick loan process will get you in a car you love. The road to your next ride starts at Redwood Credit Union. Easily apply online at redwoodcu.org/auto or ask for RCU financing at your dealership. Redwood Credit Union, for all that you love.
Oh, it's our last hit of the year with Farhan Zaidi. It's always fun talking to him, talking baseball, amongst other things as well. Farhan's probably happy. We're sad, which puts us right back at neutral. We'll call it 81 and 81 as far as the feelings.
Everybody's
concerned.
Where they should be. Exactly.
Yeah. Farhan, what's going on?
Hey, always great to talk. You're right. Yeah, zero sum sentiments between all of us.
How does 81 and 81 hit? I mean, for me, people were talking about, oh, it's nice. I'm like, well, it doesn't matter to me at this point. If you're not where you want to be, which is the playoffs, I don't know that 82 and 80, 80 and 82, 81 and 81 really makes that much of a difference. Some people get into it. I mean, how do you look at it?
Yeah, it's a little bit like the old kissing your sister, you know, for tying. You know, that's what it feels like a little bit. You know, I will say it was nice for us to have a little bit of motivation in that last series to try to get to 500 or even a little bit above. I mean, we had that good run at the end and a couple of the wild card teams that wind up finishing ahead of us slowed down a little bit. So, you know, we wound up only playing, I think, four games after we were technically eliminated. And so it was nice to still be able to play for something. But obviously, this isn't where we wanted to be. We thought of ourselves as a playoff team. We expected to be in the playoffs. And so, you know, it's disappointing to be, you know, watching the playoffs unfold, you know, from our couches starting tomorrow.
What would you say? And we're not even into the off season quite yet. I mean, fully engaged in the off season, hot stove and all that, but just kind of, if you could kind of what are priorities this year when you look at trying to get back to where you guys believe you should be in the playoffs and competing for championships? What would you say if you had a to-do list early in the off season, what would be at the top of the list?
I think, you know, we saw this a lot in the first half, and as the season went on, we did play better defense, but, you know, our defensive limitations were exposed this past season. And it really impacted our pitching staff, too. It put a strain on our starting rotation, which was really, really good all year, and our training staff did a great job of keeping that group healthy. Put a strain on our bullpen. I know that, you know, the bullpen has taken you know, the brunt of the public blame, at least, but we didn't always play great defense behind them. So as we look at our roster on the position player side, we really want to tighten up defensively. We've talked about the need and the desire to get more athletic. And by the way, that doesn't always come in free agency. I mean, we've talked about wanting to be aggressive on that front, but, you know, hopefully we can target some younger players in trades as well who can help that defense and just make the job easier for our pitching staff.
Talking to Farhan Zaidi, the Giants president of baseball operations, on the UMA guest line, our final hit with him for this year. So what's the order of operations? Like, when the offseason starts, how soon or how quickly do you guys make decisions on players you'd like to bring back, options for players like Evan Longoria? I imagine there's an order of stuff you check down and have to get through the weeds on. But when you decide on your end that you would like somebody to come back or that you'd like to retain a player, how quickly do things get going?
Yeah, some of those conversations have already started. Obviously, we got the Wilmer Flores deal done, you know, with a couple of guys that you mentioned. We'll continue to talk. I mean, you know, I guess one silver lining of not being in the playoffs is it gives us a little bit more time to engage with those players in a, you know, after the season context, because technically free agency doesn't start until after the World Series ends. So we've got a good month to continue those conversations. We're starting to identify external targets as well, and that's obviously been something we've been working on all season. But we're starting to think specifically about how we're going to pitch these players, you know, put together video presentations and that sort of thing. That's something that we've really put a lot of emphasis on the last few years is, you know, recruiting, you know, free agent recruiting, not just a phone call to the agent, but, you know, sending materials to the player about our organization, why this is a great place to play. And so we're starting that work already.
How much do you think Buster will be involved in that? I know he's going to kind of set his own schedule, but I would imagine he'd be as good as a guy to talk to. I mean, even Barry's out there pitching Judge, but he's part of the ownership now. I mean, I would think he's the guy that could tell them directly, like, what's good about this organization, why he enjoyed playing there, all the stuff. I got to think that any major decisions, he would be involved in some of the recruiting.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that, as we take a look at our front office and our organization, you know, getting some fresh perspectives and new ideas is always a good thing, but it's particularly going to be in play this offseason. I mean, obviously Buster isn't technically a fresh perspective, but he is from the standpoint of this new role he's in. We're, you know, potentially going to have a new GM in the next few weeks. That's something that we're working on right now. So, you know, we'll have some new ideas and some new thoughts and think that's going to really help a lot. I have, you know, in my time as a Giant, really relied on Buster for his takes, whether it's on our club or external targets. So that'll continue, but I think he's going to be very influential, and hopefully he can be, you know, on that topic of recruiting, a big asset for us, because he's, you know, one of the most respected players of this generation among his peers. And I think when he talks about, you know, what a great place this is to play, other players will listen.
In terms of where the team is now, you're entering year five in your role as the president of baseball operations. I think a lot of fans felt like in 2019 and the end of that era was sort of the start of a rebuild. And then last year was obviously spectacular. This year you fall back down to 81-81. In terms of where the team is now and what the expectations should be for 2023, as I said, you're entering year five here. It'd be one thing to say, hey, we're rebuilding now, but feels like it has been going on for a bit of time, even though there was some success last season. What are your thoughts on what the expectations should be for 2023?
No, I think that's totally fair. And look, our expectations have been raised. I look back on 2020, you know, when we, missed out on the playoffs by a tiebreaker, being a game under 500. And, we felt like it was a good accomplishment for us to take that season all the way down to the last game. Now we're sitting here, you know, having finished a few games out of the playoffs, and we're really not satisfied with it. Feels like more of a failure and a disappointment. So, I think we continue to be on a positive trajectory as an organization. Next year, we've talked some about how some of our recent draftees, guys like Kyle Harrison and Casey Schmid, you know, could potentially impact the major league club. I think, you know, there will continue to be a lot of focus on free agency this offseason, but for us to really get to where we need to be as an organization, we need a pipeline of, you know, two or three or four players every season coming up and really impacting the major league club. And that's how you're able to sustain success. And that's what the best organizations do. So we're looking forward to a few of these guys, giving us a little bit of that spark, which frankly we were missing this year. I think there are times where, it felt like a little bit of energy was missing, where we couldn't quite get over the hump. And, you know, those are the kinds of scenarios where when you call up a young player, they can really get things going. So hopefully we have that pipeline going next season.
In your mind, which season was more of an outlier for you guys, this season or last season?
Well, it's really hard to say, because honestly, I've talked about how going into last season, you know, we expected to be competitive. We certainly didn't expect to win 107 games. At the start of this season, we very much expected to be a playoff team. We thought we, 90 wins or something in that range was well within our sights, and we came a little bit short. So in a weird way, you know, we went into this year with higher expectations than we did last year. So I can't really answer which one is the greater outlier. Certainly, I think the truth lies somewhere in the middle. Maybe we weren't quite a 107 win team last year, and I think we were better than our record this year, but you are what your record says you are, and we're going to be sitting at home starting tomorrow, so that's where the motivation comes to be better next year.
Are you thinking about getting a new car? Redwood Credit Union offers affordable auto loans for new and used vehicles. You can even refinance an existing loan with us. Our quick loan process will get you in a car you love. The road to your next ride starts at Redwood Credit Union. Easily apply online at redwoodcu.org/auto or ask for RCU financing at your dealership. Redwood Credit Union, for all that you love.
We're talking to Farhan Zaidi on the UMA guest line. In terms of the free agents that are out there, without talking about specific players, how it could relate to the roster you guys have right now and guys who are under contract, have you ever had a conversation or had to have a conversation directly with a player about changing a position he's been at for a long time? And what was that process like, if you've had to do that?
Yeah, you know, it's there are different, obviously, types of conversations there. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, a player who's made a played a couple of different positions and maybe he's been at one spot and, you know, he's got to go back to a spot he's played in the past. And there are cases where a guy's really just played one position his entire career. So, you know, there's a range of those discussions, but getting back to what we talked about earlier, you know, our focus on improving our defense, there's no better way to improve your defense than getting really good up the middle defenders and maybe moving other pieces around, you know, somebody who's playing center field who is even better in the corner, somebody who's been playing, you know, second or short who's even better at third or first for that matter. So that's definitely something we're going to have to look at and may have some trickle effect on the roster. We don't have specific plans there, but as we think about improving our defense, we recognize that, you know, getting up the middle players you know, and maybe moving some other pieces around is the best way to do it. You'd rather have players who are overqualified to play certain positions defensively than the other way around.
You know, the one thing that really jumped out at me between last year and this year was the heart of the order with Crawford, Posey, Belt, Longoria, certainly to a certain extent. And I made the analogy, like last year, you guys had the ice cream and the sprinkles. This year it was all sprinkles. Everybody loves sprinkles. No one wants a bowl full of sprinkles. Yeah, here's your bowl full of sprinkles. Like, wait, what am I? What? I don't want a bowl full of sprinkles. Where's the ice cream? Like, so for lack of a better analogy, I think, you know, to have some ice cream in the middle of that order where you have like three guys are like, hey, these are our guys and the platooning and this and that, all the interchangeability, we can do that. But we need the guys in the middle of the order. How important is that going into next year? Whether it be, you know, that's a lot to ask, obviously, of some guys coming up from the minors. Maybe they'll get there eventually. But how important is that to go out there and try to get some of those guys some stability? They're like, This is the ice cream. This is the heart, and the other, you know, around the fringes, that's what we're going to do some work, but we still got to have that in the middle.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And you're right. We did have it last year with those guys. And obviously we had health issues. We had Buster retiring, yep. And it kind of felt like it evaporated quickly, but you know, that's where having a couple of everyday players, fits in. And look, we have guys, you know, Wilmer Flores, top 600 play appearances for the first time in his career. Thyro established himself at second base. Yaz, you know, wound up playing a lot this year. So we had a few guys that I would put in that category, but there's a certain stability at the lineup. I think it makes Cap's job easier when he knows that, you know, his, you know, four, five, and six guys or whatever it is, you know, there's a default and you kind of build the lineup around that. So I think your analogy, which is making me a little bit hungry, but more generally, is a really good one. And I think that kind of stability we lack this year. You know, you know, in 2021, we did do a lot of platooning, but you still felt like going into every game, you knew what the lineup would look like and who would be in it. And this year, because of health and because some guys struggled, you know, it was more of a production trying to figure out that lineup every day. And hopefully when you have everyday players who are durable, who you know are going to be hitting in certain spots of the lineup every day, that makes the rest of the job a lot easier.
Do you expect or should we anticipate a return for Evan Longoria?
Yeah, I mean, I've read Evan's comments, and obviously Cap has made his comments. Those guys are close from, you know, back when they played together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it sounds like Evan wants to play next year, and, you know, we'll be having those conversations over the next month. He's, you know, shown that he's still a really good two-way player, and, you know, I think some of them, we talked about this some this year, we've got to figure out the right cadence, you know, with some of our guys who aren't 150-game players anymore, what the right amount of rest and playing time is. And sometimes when those guys get hot, you're tempted to ride them. That's when they get hurt, or where their effectiveness can kind of come back to earth a little bit. So I think with a player like Wongo and, you know, a handful of other players on our roster, we've got to figure out, you know, what the right amount of playing time is to give them the best chance of success.
How aggressive do you think you'll be in your pursuit of trying to keep Rodon?
I mean, look, we're going to need top of the rotation pitching. He did a great job for us. It was a lot of fun watching him. You know, he's, you know, a certainty to opt out. I guess that's what you're referring
to.
Yeah. But he liked being here, and we loved having him. But, you know, it's just always tricky with starting pitchers because there's 29 other teams that I think are going to be interested in him, too. So we'll just have to see how it goes.
I read the really interesting article today in SI, and it comes from a lot of the excerpts come from Joe Maddon's book and him talking about the kind of the crossover between the new baseball, old baseball, and how he feels like sometimes it crosses over a little too much. I'm wondering from your standpoint, how do you find the right balance? Like, how much is too much? Too much information, too much data, too much technology, too much instead of getting down to the granular level, instead of kind of letting the game be the game a little bit and using your eyes, for lack of a better analogy, but just kind of old school. So how do you find that balance between wanting to get the best of the technology, but yet not wanting to make the game all about technology to where it's like becomes robotic? How do you find that? I'm sure you've thought about it a lot, but how do you find that balance?
Yeah, I mean, I read some of that. I haven't read all of it, but you know, I think Joe references the front office's involvement in game planning and building lineups in the bullpen. And you know, I'll just speak for myself. I don't actually want to be involved in any of that stuff. You know, I'd much rather do my day job, which is you know, managing our baseball operations group and putting together the roster and thinking about personnel. And I have a great relationship with Cap, obviously, really trust our coaching staff. And you want to empower that group to make their decisions. And players want to feel like it's the manager and the coaches who are making those decisions as well. I mean, you want to be on the same page just in terms of, you know, how you see a certain player. Like, you know, this is a guy we view as an everyday guy. This guy you've got to pick your spots with, you know. Who do we view as our kind of closer and our setup man, and who are more middle relievers? So you kind of want to have those general discussions and not get too bogged down every day in what the game strategy for that particular day is going to be. I think that's when, you know, and I think Joe referred to this a little bit, you know, you can make your manager feel handcuffed and, you know, it makes some of the moves that you see during the game seem like they're kind of coming out of nowhere. So I think finding the right balance in the manager front office relationship is really critical. And I think Major League Baseball is really thinking more and more about how to create a set of rules where we're not trying to win the games on the margins. Because I think, you know, part of your point is, you know, fans don't want to see teams compete on the margins. They want teams to compete in the meat of the matter, which is, you know, we want to see the most talented and most gritty side win every game. So hopefully as a league and as an industry, we're getting better at focusing the game on that front.
Well, it's interesting, and I'll take it from what you said. Even Perry Manassian called Joe Maddon during the game to tell him to get Trout out. I'm going to take it you've never called Cap during the game to instruct him to do anything like that. I'll just take that.
Definitely not. I mean, I think he makes a point of leaving all his communication devices in his office, as you're supposed to by rule. But I think if I ever had any temptation, he's like, hey, it's all on my desk for you to see, so don't even try it.
Well, it's interesting because you mentioned that. And look, I mean, the margins, that's where you can win games. We all know this. I mean, basketball, football, baseball, it all works. And, you know, Atlanta uses a lot of this stuff. The Dodgers use a lot of this stuff, no doubt. But when I look at the Dodgers, you know what I see? I see Betts. I see Freeman. I see Turner. I see Kershaw. I see Urias. And when I look at the Braves, I see Acuna. I see Olson. I see Swanson. Or yeah, I think that's it. Yeah, Swanson. I think his first name kind of gets me sometimes. But I see Harris. I see all these guys on that team. That yeah, the margins work, but they have some horses. I mean, it's again getting back to the ice cream thing. It's like they have like those guys, and then the margins help them with a little bit of the extra this and that, but. To me, it's still about the players. I mean, the players got to be there. And when I look at the teams that I think can compete for a championship this year, I go down the list. Astros, players. Yankees, players. And then I just mentioned the Dodgers and the Braves. So, I mean, the margins obviously are what everybody wants to get a little bit in the margins. But if you don't have the meat, you're not just winning by the margins.
Yeah, I think every front office has the same goal, which is to put together the most talented roster you can, given your constraints, whatever financial constraints you have, whatever limitations you have in terms of your farm system and your pipeline. Just put the most talent together that you can on the roster, and then it kind of shifts to, hey, how do we get the most out of this group? So I don't think anybody, and I promise you I'm including myself in that group, it's like, let's not bother with the players. Let's shift straight to operating on the margin. It's always about the talent first. There's no question about that. And to your point, some of the teams that you mentioned and the 100 plus wins teams in Major League Baseball right now, they have really talented core franchise players who are also kind of in their primes from an age standpoint. And, we have to get there. We have some work to do there, and hopefully we start seeing it internally from our farm system. We're going to have to address some of it in free agency until we can get that pipeline going. So I think your point is very well taken, that there's a little bit of a talent gap for us to make up, and we can't do it by just optimizing with strategy, and that's never been our intent.
Yeah. Hey, Farhan, we always appreciate it. We've enjoyed it as long as I've been doing this, and we certainly enjoyed it this year. Hopefully get a chance to talk to you a couple times during the offseason, see what's going on with you guys during the Hot Stove League. But we just want to thank you for putting up with us for another year. It's always fun. I always enjoy the conversation.
Me too, Farhan.
So,
yeah,
have a great offseason, and hopefully get a chance to talk to you at some point.
No, I appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun. Thanks, guys.
Are you thinking about getting a new car? Redwood Credit Union offers affordable auto loans for new and used vehicles. You can even refinance an existing loan with us. Our quick loan process will get you in a car you love. The road to your next ride starts at Redwood Credit Union. Easily apply online at redwoodcu.org/auto or ask for RCU financing at your dealership. Redwood Credit Union, for all that you love.